you do it. Verse 1, Psalm 72. And look, I've put it in italics, but you've got to see it. The prayer opens. Give the king your judgments, O Lord, and your justice to the king's son. See, it's dynastic. And all these, the danger, of course, is a coup d'etat all over the place. So they're praying that the dynasty will be intact and peaceful, and that the king's son, remember, go back to David and Solomon, the king's son will inherit, and so the tribe will be intact and all of that. So give your justice to the king's son, that he may judge your people. They're not his people. They're not taxpayers. They've got all these rights. What about the people who don't pay tax? I don't pay tax. Am I allowed to have a public view? No. Oh, okay. The judge, we do always talk about tax papers. Money seems to be the measure of everything. That he may judge your poor with justice and your poor, your people with justice and your poor with right judgment. So these are your God. God will bring about dynastic succession, the handing on of power from the king to the king's son, only if the king rules with God's justice. That's the point. Here's Psalm 21. He asked you for life and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. 1 Kings 3:9, Solomon is speaking and he says, give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this, your great people? A lovely prayer. And in 2 Chronicles we have the words of Jehoshaphat to the judges that he appointed. Chapter 19, he says, consider what you are doing, for you judge not on behalf of human beings, but on Yahweh's behalf. He is with you in giving judgment. Verse 3, through the exercise of justice, may the mountains and hills yield peace for your people. Shalom means, it's a big word in Hebrew, beautiful word. Peace means everything's in harmony. My image for it, of the Hebrew concept, is an orchestra in which every single person has their own little instrument and they're all playing beautifully but very sensitive to everybody else, so you end up with this wonderful crescendo of sounds, you know, coming because everyone's exact, and the orchestra master is keeping the right volume from different parts of the orchestra, and you end up with this wonderful resolution of the in the climax of the symphony or something. Well, peace in Hebrew means marriages are happy, children are learning, the lambs are on the hills are gambling, is that the word? And the wheat is there and it's a lovely sunny day and plenty of water and the rain and everything is in harmony and the whole of creation is just bursting with joy and song. So that's what he's saying. The hills and mountains will yield peace, crops for their people. Exodus 15 comment, you brought them in and planted them on the mountain of your own possession, the place, Yahweh, that you made your abode, the sanctuary, Yahweh, that your hands have established. The land, in other words, is holy. Verse 4, may he defend the king, may he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Help the needy families and crush the oppressor. That's a pretty good definition of the role of government at that day. Help the needy families. Are we doing that? I don't think we are. I think it's getting harder and harder for the needy families. And plenty of other people are saying it too about our tax system, for example. Neutrality in the face of oppression is complicity in injustice. If we allow people to be locked away without trial for 3 years for wanting to come into our country, we're responsible for not raging against it. And for re-electing a government that insists on it. Part 2, the endurance and extension of the kingdom. Verse 5. May he live, the king, while the sun endures, as long as the moon lasts from generation to generation. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. And there's a number of other verses there. I might read them, eh? Similar images of... What was it? Is it Macbeth? Quality of mercy is not strained. Merchant of Venice, that's it. It droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. Twice blessed, thank you. Blessed him that gives and him that takes. We're all floating around, isn't that wonderful? In the light of a king's face there is life, and favour is like the clouds that bring the spring rain. Proverbs again, a king's favour is like dew on the grass. Hosea 6, Yahweh will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. Last night we had the Mass of Oils, and we had all the priests of the diocese in there for a holy hour. And we made the sign of the cross, began the holy hour, and the heavens opened and all the rain came down. So we priests think if we could get together and pray more, we'd be... we took credit for that. Anyhow, the timing was interesting. Okay, and so we got drowned as we went from the church into the hall. Okay. David's last words in the book of 2nd book of Samuel, chapter 23, are these. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless day morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Well, he must have been a bit of a poet. If your last words are equally poetic, I'd be very happy to be by your bedside. But it's all coming from, you know, similar imagery to that psalm. Verse 7 of Psalm 72. In his days may justice flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. You need to know, you probably know already, because I had to learn this anyhow. The sun is obviously what it is. The moon is not looked at as a source of light. The moon is related to time. Whenever you hear the word moon used in the Bible, it's their clock. They had no other clock. They couldn't work out all the sun's moves. Too complicated, too much mathematics. They weren't up to it. But they knew the moon. So when the moon, the first little slither of moon, the shofar would... from the hill, and that sound, and everyone would know the month had started. So then they had all their feasts. The feasts were all at the full moon. So they knew that 1/7, that's half moon, 2/7, that's why you get seven, that's why the world was created in 7 days, by the way. We weren't copying God, God was copying us in the story. Because everything happened in sevens, so because that's how the week was. They had a 7 and another 7, and that was the full moon. So they're getting all ready, and all the big celebrations were at the full moon, which was always the 14th, 15th, the night between the 14th and 15th of the month, of every month. So you didn't need a clock. That's what happened. And then it went down again, and then you'd have the little... We all knew when the month started because we didn't have wristed watches. Are you with me? So when it says... peace will abound until the moon is no more, it means till time is finished, till there's no more time. That's what it means. Isaiah 27:6, in days to come Jacob shall take root, Israel shall blossom and put forth shoots and fill the whole world with fruit. Judaism. That's what Judaism is, beautiful religion. And Judaism did fill the whole world with fruit when Judaism was lived as Jesus lived it, which is what we mean by Christianity. That's what Christianity is. It's the Judaism, with all its wonderful insights, lived by Jesus, and opened up from Judaism to the whole world. So that's what happened. Jesus is the fulfillment of that psalm, that hope. Hosea 14:6, his shoot shall spread out, his beauty shall be like the olive tree, his fragrance like that of Lebanon. They shall again live beneath my shade. They shall flourish as a garden. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fragrance shall be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It's I who answer and look after you. I'm like an evergreen cypress. Your faithfulness comes from me. Verse 8, Psalm 72. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the great river to the ends of the earth. Sea to sea, the Mediterranean to the Red Sea, I presume, and the north, and the great river, that's the Euphrates, to the ends of the earth. Here's Zechariah 9:10, similarly, his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Exodus 23, I will set your borders from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines. That's the Red Sea to the Mediterranean. And from the wilderness to the Euphrates. This was the ideal Holy Land. They never got there, but that's how they see it. Verse 9, may the desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. Images you'll also find in Isaiah 49:23, with their faces to the ground, kings shall bow down to you and lick the dust of your feet. Obviously the symbol, the footstool, the conquered kings would have to come and the king would put his foot on their head to indicate dominance. Micah 7:17, they shall lick dust like a snake, like the crawling things of the earth. They shall come trembling out of their fortresses. May the kings of, verse 10, may the kings of Tarshish and the isles pay him tribute. In an earlier, I'll continue and then read what I've got here. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. The only other mention of Tarshish in the Psalms is in Psalm 48, verse 7. We did it a few weeks ago. The psalmist is speaking here of kings that Israel encounters in sea trade, obviously. This present psalm is the... So that's what it means. And we saw that Tarshish, the ships of Tarshish, were the ships that took out into the Mediterranean and didn't just hug the shore. And that maybe there's one that makes us think that Tarshish was the general name given to the Aegean and the islands of the Aegean between what we now call Greece and Turkey. There's a Tartessos, however, a town on the Spanish inner coast, the east coast of the Mediterranean, and ships that went all the way to Tartessos, and others think maybe Tarshish is Semitizing of that Tartessos place. So whatever, it means the maritime rulers. Okay. Now, the present psalm is the only psalm to mention either Sheba or Seba. Sheba, if you look up Genesis 10:28, seems to refer to modern Yemen on the eastern coast of the Red Sea in southern Arabia. Seba, which is mentioned also in Genesis 10, seems to refer to the modern Eritrea on the opposite western shore of the Horn of Africa. So they're talking about both sides of the Red Sea. And one that goes into mystery then, into deserts and into wherever. The end of the world just keeps going forever in Africa. Modern archaeology indicates the tradition exaggerated the extent of Solomon's empire. Solomon was sovereign over all the kingdoms from the... This is according to 1 Kings verse, chapter 4, verse 21. But it looks like hopeful stuff, like the Falans were kings of Ireland. Well, we had a bully up on top of a hill who ran the show for a few years or something. I don't know what we had. But, you know, we kind of build things up a bit. Solomon, according to 1 Kings 4, was sovereign over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates to the land of the Philistines, even to the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Highly unlikely, archaeology would say, not true. But it made a good yarn. Verse 12. All of this is predicated on this, these verses here. This is what the king's doing. Therefore, all this will happen. He delivers the needy when they call. Does he? That's what he's there for. He delivers the poor who have no one to defend them. Does he? He has pity on the weak and the needy. He saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, for their blood is precious in his sight. And if the political rulers are ignoring all that and feathering their own nest and making their own friends and advancing the oppressors, you get me? Then none of this psalm applies to them. That's horrible. Here's Job, verse chapter 29, reading, I delivered the poor who cried, the orphan who had no helper. This is God speaking here. So the God's vicegerent, the king, is meant to behave like this. I delivered the poor who cried and the orphan who had no helper. The blessing of the wretched came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I'm sorry, this is Job himself. And I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and I championed the cause of the stranger. Verse 15. Long may he live. May the gold of Sheba, so they must have got gold coming from Saudi Arabia somewhere, or it came through there in trade, and that's where they got it from. Because the gold of Ophir, they still argue, is Ophir in Arabia, is it in Africa, is it in India? There's all opinions, we don't know. The famous gold of Ophir, because we don't know where it is. So the gold of Sheba, anyhow, be given to him, may prayer be made for him, that's the king, continually, and blessings invoked for him all day long. And go to verse 16. May there be abundance of grain in the land, waving to and fro in the wind to the tops of the mountains. May its fruit be luxuriant like that of Lebanon, and its sheaves like the grass in the field. Verse 17. May his name, the king's name, endure forever. His fame continue as long as the sun. May all nations be blessed in him. May they pronounce him happy. May all nations be blessed in the King of Judah, is the prayer. May his name endure forever. Abram, you know, and Abraham, in fact, etymologically they try and make a difference. They're probably just two variants of the same things. Ab means father, Abba. And Ram means high. So high father, it means. Also the name Jesus, given to the son of Mary and Joseph. So a name was given to indicate something about the person. And the king took a name when he, like sometimes in the Bible you'll see, king has two names. One would be his own name. One would be the name he took when he became king. And we used to do that in religious life. Perhaps some orders still do it. Some probably do, but we never did. But, you know, when you take on the name. Think of all the sisters that taught you at school with these shocking big male names. Sister Ildefonsus. And, you know, pardon?
The Pope does it.
Yeah, the Pope does it. That's right. Exactly. The kings of England? Oh, Albert, is it? Well, there we are. Thank you. So it was a custom that indicated that what you, in a public sphere, when you took on a role, you then took on that name. Confirmation. We do it at the Sacrament of Confirmation for similar reasons. And now we come to the conclusion to book two. It's not part of the psalm. Each book ends with a statement like this. And if you want to look back to the end of Psalm 41, you'll find a similar thing there. Blessed be Yahweh, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth. Amen. Amen. And that ends book two. Except for this strange little verse. The prayers of David, son of Jesse, are ended. That's an editorial addition, clearly. Why was it put in? I'm a bit baffled by it. If it's this really has been badly placed, if that was the end of Psalm 72, then I would understand it. Because this is the prayer of David for his son Solomon, you see? So the prayers of the son of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. That's Psalm 72. He's praying for his son. That makes complete sense. If it's actually talking about book one and book two of the Psalms, then you've got problems because you'll find a number of Psalms attributed to David in book three, four, and five. So I have to tell you, I don't know, and I've read everything I can read, and no one else seems to know either. So if you don't know, don't feel too bad about yourself. But it's there for you to know that it exists. I suspect myself, and I got no reason for this except, you know, you try and make meaning in life, don't you? I think it actually probably is talking about this psalm.